Hello and welcome to Light the Eye, episode number 8, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I am Robert Rosenthal.
You know, Robert?
Yes.
We've received quite a number of compliments about the high production value
Yes.
of Light the Eye.
Correct.
But today we are not in our studios in Champaign. In fact, we are in Nashville
mm-hmm.
the morning after the Music City Bowl.
Yes.
So the production value here is we are in an undisclosed bunker location.
My Airbnb.
Which has a little bit of echo in here.
Yes, it does.
From the kitchen countertop.
However, we do have one thing that lives on through each episode, right?
What is that?
That would be the eye. We should light the eye.
I noticed the eye is blue.
Yeah, I mean Navy for Nashville, right? Navy in Nashville? Navy for Nashville. Nashville Navy.
The all blue look. There's always some skepticism amongst Illini Nation about an all blue look.
Yep.
Basically centered around men's basketball, I believe.
Yes.
Because yes. Women's hoops has won in the all blue, and I don't know that there's ever been a time when Illinois was all blue in, let's say, modern history.
Yes. Used to do the all blues with the orange helmet, but it would have been very rare to do. I mean, there was only a blue helmet from 2014 to 2017, so I don't think they ever went all blue through that time. So, yeah.
Well, 30-28, Illinois is Music City Bowl champions, back-to-back bowl champions for the first time since 2010 and 2011. Brett Bielema is the first head coach to win back-to-back bowl games with the Illini, because 2010 and 11 was two different coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And several players go out on top, most notably Luke Altmaier. I just, looking back to last night's game, could there have been a more fitting way?
No.
If you were writing a story 100%. About Illinois football.
Yeah.
For this game to go out.
For
Luke Altmaier to go out.
I hinted at it in what I wrote Friday night, but, you know, I write a preview every Friday night before the game. I wait till, like, right before I go to bed, and I just write it out. And I have written so many, like, what if tomorrow this happens? And what if so-and-so, what if this walk-on scores the winning touchdown? Like, I'm always dreaming of these scenarios. And I wrote out, like, you know, what if we get one final drive? Like one more drive from Luke Altmaier. And what do we get? One more drive from Luke Altmaier. It's just crazy. You can't script it. As loud as the Tennessee fans were last night, like, how do I say this? They are they're an aggressive fan base. You know, I had Uber drivers this week. I had a bartender tell me this. I had people saying, like, everybody is telling us, maybe they're Vandy fans, but they're like, please, please, please beat Tennessee. Like, I don't really care about the Music City Bowl. I just don't want to see Tennessee win. I'm like, well, you live in Tennessee. Like, they're like, you just don't understand. Like, this Uber driver is going on and on. Like, you don't understand what their fan base is like. They will be in your face, and they will be aggressive, and they will be. And it was absolutely true. You know, sitting there in the press box, looking down at the fans in front of us, they would do the thing on, like, first down if they had Illinois fans next to them, that they would go like this in front of their face, you know.
For those who aren't watching, that's making a first down signal in front of somebody.
Yes, space. And making them flinch because your arm gets so close to their face. And so, you know, for that to be the vibe around the game of these really noisy, like, turn around and point at the Illinois fans near them kind of fan base, and them booing when Tanner Heckle was injured because they thought we were faking injuries or something. And they are a aggressive fan base. So for that game to end with that drive, and then they all just have to kind of just, nothing you can do. It's the most painful thing in sports, is to watch another team take 5 minutes, run it all the way down to 3 seconds left, call a timeout, kick essentially an extra point to win the game. It's as hard as it gets for the opposing fan base, and heck, for the Illini fans that were there, it was just glorious.
I want to credit Matt Stevens of IlliniGuys.com for coming up with this.
Yeah, this is a great stat.
Luke Altmaier's first game as an Illini was the season opener of 2023 against Toledo. The game ended with a 64-yard drive and a 29-yard game-winning field goal by...
We didn't Caleb Griffin then, yeah. Right? Yeah.
But yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Pre-David Alano. Last night's ball game ended with a 64-yard drive and a game-winning 29-yard field goal by David Alano.
And in that Toledo game, you know, there was the 4th and 13, 4th and 17, the long pass to Casey Washington. You know, they basically just said, all right, not only do we need to convert this 4th down, we got to get a lot of yards here. We got to get in the field goal range. So they just threw the jump ball to Casey Washington, and he caught it. And the drive continued, and they won the game. So, yeah, I mean, bookends for your career are last-minute drives, the last one to be a bowl win, which is your 19th win in two seasons. It's just, yeah, you can't write it. You can't write it.
I heard from some Tennessee folk, media folk, about the attendance. If you look at the attendance of the Music City Bowl in years past, it's been its biggest when Tennessee is in the game for obvious reasons. And I think the attendance was listed around 69,000 for those games in the past. Last night's was around 52. It was solidly attended for a bowl game, but probably an underwhelming turnout for the bowl itself based on the fact that Tennessee was in it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if weather played a factor in that, but I do think some folks said the lack of not making the playoff probably at least turned away some Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
Because what I had heard is Tennessee fills up Neyland Stadium, yeah. Win, lose, or draw. 100,000.
Over 100,000, yep. Yeah.
But there's folks in the western part of Tennessee that don't get over there. And so when Tennessee is in Nashville for a bowl game, there's a good part of the population like, let's go. We don't have tickets to Neyland. It's hard to get in. This is a chance for us to go see him here.
Yep.
And it just didn't turn out as well. It was cold, but maybe also a little bit of sour grapes or just, this is a consolation prize because we didn't make the playoff.
They were in the playoff last year, right? Right.
And we're not this year. But to the fan base for Tennessee that was there, and then certainly to the Illinois fan base, as I get to my point, with all of the talk out there, maybe some of it warranted and some of it not, about the meaning of bowls, the significance of it, or doesn't matter. It mattered to the throngs of people that were on Broadway for Battle of the Bands, and it mattered to certainly anybody that was in that stadium. You don't just go to a bowl game because, like, well, what are we going to do today?
Sure.
I mean, there could have been some vacationers in Nashville who are like, oh, there's a bowl game. Hey, let's walk up and go get a ticket and let's go.
Right.
But most of the people are there because they absolutely wanted to be, and they're absolutely into the game.
Yep.
And there was nobody going, it's a bowl game. Yeah.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yep.
Big deal.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to emphasize your point here that this is a significant moment for Illinois football.
Yes.
And did it matter as much to Tennessee? I don't know. But, I mean, they certainly played hard, and it was a great football game.
Yep.
But it mattered to Illinois.
Absolutely. And that's you just see this building. I was talking with some friends. We were at the Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara in 2019. And just the difference in what the Illini fans were like at that game. Again, that's further. The timing wasn't the best. It was also on December 30th back then. But it wasn't the easiest. You know, it's not the easiest game to get to. And they try and do the Battle of the Bands and all those city things. But they're doing it in San Francisco. The team's staying in San Francisco, and then like everything else with the bowl game is down in Santa Clara. It just doesn't have a bowl game feel, and the Illini fan base just didn't have that feeling. What we've seen in Tampa and then Orlando and now Nashville is just crazy. It just keeps getting more and more. Tennessee fans obviously live close, so I'm sure that has a lot to do with this. But when you were out on Broadway on Monday night, the night before the game, it was 80, 90% Illini gear everywhere. You know, I think for Tennessee fans, like you said, people who live in this part of the state will just like, hey, let's get up and go to the game on Tuesday. You know, it's near our house kind of thing. Illini fans obviously travel and are staying at the hotel, so it's going to be like that. But to be in a city, I mean, look, this is the second time in a month I've been down here and watched Illini fans everywhere, absolutely everywhere. There were probably 7,000 Illini fans at the basketball game 3.5 weeks ago, and now, what, 15,000 just taking over Broadway, and every bar you went in was just solid Illini colors everywhere. It was crazy.
You probably had more Tennessee fans that just drove it in.
Yep. Yeah, just drove in, came in for the game, went back home, didn't need to do that. But, you know, there are obviously more Tennessee fan at the game because, look, this game was in Bloomington or Springfield or even Chicago. There would be more Illini fans, obviously. But it was still, it's just.
Where would you so have different. A bowl game in Springfield?
Does Sangamon State, sorry, Illinois Springfield, do they have, no, they don't, they got like a soccer stadium. You could do it at Sacred Heart Griffin, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes, the right. Sacred Heart Griffin Bowl. I like it. The SHG Bowl brought to you by, what's a good Springfield
boy,
business?
The volunteer fan base really showed out in Springfield.
That would be great. Cough button.
Got to get a cough button.
Cough button. Oh, we do. We have a mute button right there. I could hit the cough button.
I'm going to assume you're going to edit that out.
Probably. But you never know if I'm editing.
I know. I'm here to keep this professional.
I'm here to drag it in the other direction. I had somebody tell me on Broadway on Monday night. They're like, you tell Scott that sometimes we do want to hear you talk for a half hour. I'm like, okay. But you don't, like, 5 minutes on a topic, sure. I don't think anybody wants me a half hour on a topic. I could do it, but I don't think anybody wants
that. I had the pleasure of meeting some of your groupies, your homies, your tribe.
The crew.
The crew. And one of your friends told me, oh, I've known Robert a long time. I can tell you stories. And I'm like, you don't have to. Robert will.
He volunteers those stories.
No story that you have about him that Robert won't just tell about himself.
That's a great point. I've never thought. I like thinking of myself that way. I'm not a guy that you can say, oh, I know all the secrets. Well, I've already told all the secrets.
Exactly. And yep. If you, you know, there's some people that will open up if you ask them. Mm-hmm. You, on the other hand, will open up because we didn't ask you.
Yes. Yes. No one asked? Yes. Again, that's why my wife has just a little, like, the tap on the shoulder of, like, hey, you're doing it again, just so you know. You know, it's okay, but just so you know, you are going way deep. You know, people, I had, like, 5 or 6 people come up to me just walking past me on Broadway and say, I'm a college student, and then they walk away. It was so great.
That, for those of you who are just joining the podcast, is a reference to when Robert gives unnecessary backstory to a story.
Which I do when I call Baskin Robbins to order a Father's Day ice cream cake.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing back to that. It's a preface to the lady just wants your order, and you need to start with the backstory.
Yes.
Anyway, I think we got a little sidetracked there. But
what
we were
happened?
Talking,
oh, bowl game. Yes. Yeah. Illinois won their back to back 19 wins in 2 years.
But yeah, and yes, the turnout would be different if the bowl was located in Illinois.
Yes. Yes, that's where
for
we
Illinois.
Were. This Sacred
proportion
Heart Griffin
of Illinois to Tennessee fans was certainly geared towards Tennessee because of its location.
Yes.
What was the point? Illinois turned out well.
Yes,
the fan 100%. Base turned out well.
It was a night and day difference from the bowls attended in the 2010s. For the Texas Bowl, the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, the Heart of Dallas Bowl, the Red Box Bowl. Look, they were fun. I had a blast at the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl in San Francisco in 2011. Those were fun. this has become this like Illini event that when I'm tweeting pictures, everybody's got, as the kids say, FOMO. Like everybody has this fear of missing out on, oh man, I wish I could be there. I'm going to go next year. All this stuff. There's a real momentum to the whole thing that just hasn't existed in the past. And it's so great. Like Illini fans are bold now. Like we were always kind of afraid to be, you know, to talk smack before a game or whatever. Illini fans are like, hey, SEC school, we're going to beat you. You're going to have to deal with that. It's crazy.
Speaking of talking smack, that came up in the post game with Luke Altmyer on the podium on the field as the MVP of the bowl game, which he 100% deserved.
Yes.
And he mentioned, I'm so glad I spent 3 years playing in the greatest conference in America. Brett Bielema has pointed out a few facts about the SEC's bowl performance so far, at least, as we record this on the 31st of December. I'm not sure exactly where that all came from. Of course, there were the stories out there that Luke Altmyer was at least being courted by Tennessee through the portal. Well, Luke never entered the portal, but that, you know, they were trying to woo him when their star quarterback left to go to UCLA.
The old call his high school coach and tell him, hey, if he'd be interested, we'd be interested.
However it worked. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But my point is
non-tampering tampering
is if somebody approaches you because you're good and says, we'd love you to come play here. I don't know why that would create animosity. I don't know if that's where that was all coming from, more just the narrative of, I mean, I did see the narrative of Tennessee was ranked in the playoff rankings and, you know, our AP voters swayed by the SEC brand and they're not paying attention. And maybe it was just stumping for the Big Ten and, sure, and the brand, all that.
When I heard it, my first thought was, oh, I bet he heard from people when he transferred from Ole Miss to Illinois. Like being a kid from Starkville, growing up in SEC country, I'm sure he heard, oh, leaving the SEC for the Big Ten. I'm sure he heard lots of voices of like, oh, you're going to take a step back, huh? Or something like that. So that has to feel good, right? He beat an SEC team in the bowl game last year. He beat an SEC team in the bowl game this year. He's MVP. He goes out with one final long drive, all of that. I mean, that has to feel pretty good. So when I was hearing that, I was like, okay, this might be a message for those people that said, hey, Luke, why are you leaving the SEC for just the Big Ten? And he's saying, look, the Big Ten is right there with the SEC. These are the top two conferences. And oh, by the way, we just moved the Big Ten to 6-0 or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And I think probably from Brett Bielema's perspective, I'm not speaking for him, but you want everyone to know that don't just assume because of the conference you play in on the quality of the team. Yep. And make no mistake, the Big Ten and the SEC are the two best football conferences top to bottom, whatever order you want to put them in because of your own analysis or bias or colors that you bleed, whatever that would be case. So they're the two best. I would argue the Big Ten, at least this year, at the very top, is better than the very top of the SEC. I think Ohio State and Indiana and Oregon. I mean, yeah, they're all heavyweights this year. Would the bottom of the Big Ten go toe to toe with the bottom of the SEC?
Probably not. Yeah.
So is the collective, which conference is better? I think it's almost a pointless debate.
I agree. And it seems to be, I mean, look, the ACC champion wasn't even as good as the American Athletic champion to get a spot in the playoffs. Like, we are in a scenario where there are two conferences up here, and then the Big 12 and the ACC are kind of in this no man's land that's not too far from the American or Conference USA and this and that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it keeps developing, because there continue to be players leaving Big 12 schools to go to Big 10 or SEC schools, and leaving ACC schools to move up a level, kind of thing. And as that keeps sorting itself out and the Big Ten and the SEC keep making more money and have more resources available, we're really, really moving quickly to a Power Two kind of structure. And the next time there's realignment, which is probably 2029, 2030, there's a chance that there's even a, you know, movement for like a break-off kind of thing of like, maybe there just needs to be a top tier where the players are paid, and then there's a second tier where, you know, that kind of thing. So it's going to get interesting. What a time for Illinois to go 10-3 and then 9-4 and establish themselves as a real deal program in the Big Ten. You know, people were scared when NIL came along and the portal came along. Oh, the rich are going to get richer. And now we see Michigan State absolutely flailing. And we see Purdue absolutely lost. And we see Wisconsin football totally lost as well and having their worst two seasons in three decades. And here's Illinois 10-3 and 9-4. It's crazy.
Yep. But these things go in cycles.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of seniors leaving, a lot of starters leaving. There's 12, 13. You know, if you count Akis and you count J.C. Davis, who didn't play, you've probably got 13 starters lost next year. So, you know, when you only bring back 9, 10-ish starters, you're going to have a rebuild year. We'll see how it goes with the portal and everything else, and we'll see the strength. But for this specific roster to go 19-7, it's crazy. Which, Scott, let's acknowledge, we're 19-7 since Engine 77 made an appearance. So I think the real catalyst for Illini football
is a fire truck.
I mean, I think it's undeniable at this point. It has nothing to do with Luke Altmaier or Brett Bielema or all the recruiting. It's just six guys getting together to buy a fire truck. That's it. That's all it is.
Ironically, a fire truck has lit a fire.
It has. And on top of that fire truck, what do we do, Scott? We
light the eye.
Yes, we do. Nice. Branding.
Nice ring to it. Uh-huh. I think a couple of interesting notes about the game. First time Illinois has won a bowl game on a game-winning field goal. I don't believe they've ever lost one or even had it. I don't think they've ever had a chance to win a game on a game-winning field goal, but I don't think they've ever lost one. But it's back-to-back bowl wins, of course, is notable, but also true-to-form back-to-back one-score wins. One-score games over 3 years. 13-4.
Yeah.
And they were underdogs in 8 of them.
And what's the statement that people always say about that? Like, you're going to go, you know, often you're going to go about 50-50 over the long term in those one score games. It's, you know, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they last year won like 13 straight one score games, and then it turns around and they're, you know, not close to that. So that's the old edict is, yes, one-score games are going to go each way, and you're going to have a streak of good luck, a streak of bad luck. However, the one caveat to that is if you have a great quarterback, it changes everything. If you have a great quarterback who can finish drives in the end of the game, and obviously the Chiefs have had that. Obviously Tom Brady, his record in one-score games is ridiculous. John Elway, a great quarterback can make the difference there in a 50-50 stat by, hey, he's just calm and he's just not going to miss passes and he's going to make the right reads and he's not going to make any mistakes. And that's going to be the difference at the end of these games. And we've seen it from Luke Altmaier. That's what he'll be remembered for, is these late game drives. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, in 15 years when people think back on Luke Altmaier as the Illinois quarterback, they're going to think about late game drive after late game drive where he just stayed calm. I mean, look at the bowl game last year. You know, huge third down run from Josh McCray. People forget that the milking of the clock in that game, like they didn't want to have to punt. And Luke knew exactly what he was doing. He was snapping with 1 second on the play clock. And then he knew the fourth down, they would have to snap with about 2 seconds left. And he'd have to, you know, take two steps back and let it go. And the coaches are screaming and the, you know, The South Carolina, they think they're going to get the ball back with maybe 10 seconds. Maybe they'll get a Hail Mary shot or something like this. And Luke even kind of looked over the sidelines like, I got this, guys. I understand the situation. I'm looking at the play clock. I know what I got to do. You know, I know we're not going to punt it on fourth down. I just need to take a second and a half off the clock and then take a knee and we're good. And so that's the kind of thing you need to win these games. We saw it last night.
So curiosity, 2 minutes. We hit the 2 minute warning last night.
Yep.
And Illinois is in scoring range. I can't remember if they were in the red zone yet. I don't believe. But
yeah, 2 minutes was right at the Jordan Anderson run, right?
Yeah. So I'm in the radio booth, and in the break, I asked Kerry Davis. I said, "This is going to get interesting about how do you want to manage this?" And Tennessee's going to start to get nervous about the clock. So Tennessee still had their three timeouts, or four.
Yeah, that's right.
but anyway, so they got to burn their timeouts, but they need time. So does Tennessee think about letting Illinois score? If Tennessee would rather Illinois kick a field goal than a touchdown, but in terms of points, but they need the ball.
Yes. Once you're inside the 20 with a great kicker, it's like, oh, this game is over.
So they're hoping to get a stop and force Illinois to kick sooner and give them the ball back.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm just curious. Do you think there was, if one of the running plays, you know, they part the Red Sea and just let Illinois go and score the touchdown?
I think you would have seen the Illinois player go down at the three. I think they've been coached.
Bielma referenced that was going through their minds. I don't know if he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think the players are coached enough that they would have. Like I said that, remember the playoff game last week, 2 weeks ago, Miami, Texas A&M. Miami scored a touchdown with like a minute left, but Texas A&M was out of timeouts, and they scored like a 18-yard touchdown. And I tweeted immediately at the time, like, he should have gone down at the one. Like, had the Miami guy gone down and taken a knee at the one, A&M's out of timeouts, they could have gone knee, timeout, just like last night, and kicked the field goal from the one and win the game. As it was, they scored to make it 10-3 instead of, you know, kicking the field goal to win it at 6-3. And then Texas A&M drove down to the 6 and just, you know, stalled out there and didn't get the touchdown and everything else. But that could have happened last night and could happen in any of these other games, that if you don't take a knee, you know, taking a knee at the 1 or at the 3 or whatever, a guy not going in the end zone when they didn't let them score, nearly guarantees the game if you have a good kicker. Yes, it could get blocked. Yes, it could get, you know, we don't know. Something could go wrong, bad snap, whatever, with the chip shot field goal. However, it's the best way to just end the game. You're not touching the ball again. We're calling a timeout with 3 seconds left, and the game is over. And so I really do think had Tennessee turned to let them score, I think you would have seen, you know, say Luke is breaking through or Aiden Loffrey or somebody, I think you would have seen him take a knee at the three. I think they would have been coached into that moment to do that.
All right. Besides the game-winning field goal, what are some favorite moments from the game, or at least a favorite moment?
I mean, I just mentioned Jordan Anderson, and so that's a big one. I don't know if he'll be back for a fifth season, but, you know, look, a guy's bouncing around between tight end and this and that. For him to have that fourth down, like, let's just say it. Say Jordan Anderson doesn't pick up that fourth down. Illinois was down to, what, one timeout at that time? And that was right at the two-minute warning? So Tennessee could have essentially kneeled it out. Like, they would have run three plays and had to maybe punt with 10 seconds left. So that fourth down from the 31 was everything. Like, you don't get that, game's over. And, you know, and you're in field goal range. That's a big call. Fourth and, you know, turned out to be inches after they measured and this and that. But if you don't get that, that's ball game. So for that to be Jordan Anderson having that moment, that's great. I love how Luke said in the post game, like, that's our QB sneak. I think every Illinois fan, or at least Illinois media covering every game, everybody knows what play is coming. It's the belly play to Jordan Anderson. And nobody stopped it yet on a fourth down. So it's you know, it's like the Eagles thing. It's like the tush push. Like, you know what's coming. Can you stop it? I'm sure Tennessee, after watching the game, I'm sure that their fans knew what was coming. And here we are. You know, like, it worked again. This time he got 13 yards, put them well into field goal range, and knee, chip shot, ball game.
I also enjoyed the pressure that the Illini put Aguilar under.
Yes.
Four sacks.
All without Akis.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what's fun about bowl games. Is that's not supposed to happen, but that did. You know, no defensive touchdowns all year, and you get a fumble recovery in the end zone.
I went down to two of my sons and one of my son's girlfriends were in the club seats with the other guys from the Engine 77 crew.
Wait, how many girlfriends does your son have?
One of
my son's girlfriends.
This is a good grammar thing.
Yes.
Yes, the girlfriend of one of my sons is probably the proper way to say that.
Yes.
One of my son's 14 girlfriends. they're in a back room of the Airbnb. They could probably hear this. I hope they're laughing. I went down to spend some time in the third quarter. I get down there, say hi to everybody, and the next play is that fumble. So, you know, I go from I can't make a sound in the press box to screaming, ball, 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 get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. And then just, you know, there's not much of a better crowd celebration moment than the touchdown in the, you know, the defensive touchdown where you can just go nuts. It was so much fun.
My only disappointment is that Hank Beatty, his 1,000 completion percentage went down to 66.7.
Yeah, Luke's got to work on his hands now.
Yeah, he was 2 for 2, and now he's 2 for 3.
Yep. Yes. I thought you were going to say that you're disappointed as Hank Beatty has now graduated, and you can't see the last name Beatty out there all the time. By the way, shout out to you for the banner on your Twitter account having a picture of, is it Miles Scott?
I believe so.
Or was it Xavier Scott?
It was back when there was only one Scott.
Okay.
So I think it's Miles.
Yes. So it just says Scott Beatty in your banner.
Well, even at one point, I think Miles Scott was a returner.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the off returner.
Mm-hmm.
Or Beatty was the off returner.
When he was a wide receiver. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Beatty was the off returner. So if you caught it right, Scott and Beatty were, you know, standing, left or right.
Yes. Depending. That's great. That's great.
It's mm-hmm. one of my proudest moments.
Yep.
And that David Alano represented Naperville North well again.
In the orange and blue. I got it right.
Go Huskies.
I got
it right.
You know, Huskies. Another moment from last night is that, you know, getting the extra points in there in the first half was big. You know, it was kind of a defensive struggle, oddly. And getting that halftime lead, that's big. Like, again, it's not just the late game drives from Luke. It's these, like, hey, we got some time here to go get points before the half. Take the lead in, you know, what was a shaky start, and Tennessee jumping out to the 7-0 lead. You know, we have a chance to do that, put together the drive, make it happen. There's just, that's the thing that we will miss about Luke Altmyer, is his ability to kind of identify the game situation and, like, okay, we can manage this, that we can get, you know, get into field goal range, at least make this field goal and have the ability to, you know, have the halftime lead. So his composure in moments like that is just crazy.
There will be future conversations now about the roster makeup. Is this as much about retention going into the 26 year as it is about portal acquisition and, of course, the great recruiting class that's coming in, but will obviously be young and inexperienced. But it feels like there's going to be a changing of the guard with most of those captains also being done with their eligibility. But it feels like this sort of ends a three-year reign, if you will, with Luke Altmyer. And it went from Bielma starting to build it to now having success into sustained success. And now the next chapter, which we don't have to dissect now, but probably in the future, is now how do you do it again? Yeah. And even go forward as you get a lot of roster churn. But for this was just a capstone punctuation mark on a great quarterback career for Luke Altmyer, but all of those players that have come through now for a few years and been with Brett Bielema and also this coaching staff, which it looks like much of it might stay intact. I don't know. I'm just
sure.
I'm just making maybe an assumption there based on when people move in the carousel. I'm not sure about that, but I'm just saying, like, it feels like we've, like maybe that's the end of volume one in the series of books or something. I don't know.
Right. I think that's right. And it's a huge part of the next chapter is 10 wins last year and 9 wins this year. I mean, how often has Brett Bielema brought up how often the phone rings now, you know, and how they are in on players who aren't, you know, in on players who aren't normally going to be the Illinois type of recruit. It might just be a level above that they're not going to consider the phone call if it rings or whatever. So, you know, portal opens in 3 days and this opens a lot of windows. Like, you have the ability to build a roster. You have the financial ability with the NIL and everything else. You have the ability to do this kind of thing again. Maybe next year isn't going to be the 10-win or the 9-win season, but you have the ability to turn this thing over, go find, you know, the players you need and the spots you need. There's not many people that are going to turn away an Illinois phone call at this moment. You know, you want to go play big-time football, you want to go beat SEC teams in bowl games, well, come to Champaign. And that's the message that's going to be spread. And that's really the legacy of these seniors, of what they did. You know, the 2022 season said what was possible in Champaign. The 2024 and 2025 season said, like, this is sustainable, it's staying, it's a program now, and that's the message they're selling to the next group. So it is the highest, the vibes are high. Like, it is the best things have felt around Illinois football quite literally in 35 years.
Before we say goodbye to the 2025 year, literally and athletically, if you will, for football, want to once again thank our sponsor and our partners at the U of I Community Credit Union for helping us get this going, and looking forward to next year. I'm sure you are, especially when we have a podcast through an entire football season, but we're glad we got to be with you here at the end over this bowl game and this postseason buildup. So I want to say thanks, but also we love hearing from you. So if you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a comment underneath. If you're especially, we're interested in getting questions.
Yes.
If you have questions that you might like us to address, you can leave it in the comments. If you're not on YouTube, you can email us at
lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com.
That's lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. If you have questions or comments, you might get that on an upcoming podcast. So we'll be back in our studios in the near future, and we'll get going in 2026. We're looking at bringing on more guests as well. But we thank you so much for helping us ring in the new year with this.
Can I say one last thing?
I guess.
I love that we left that cabinet open this whole time. This whole time, we could have had a nice kitchen backdrop, and I opened that cabinet to get a coffee cup, and what did I not do? Close the cabinet, Robert.
We are in a growth stage here.
We're in a growth stage. This is the first month. This is the end of our first month.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
Well, I guess it just makes everything feel a little more, you know, organic and
that's right.
Authentic.
Hey, that's us.
Isn't that what everyone's looking for? No artificial intelligence.
That's
nothing
right.
Like that.
AI could not replace us.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Happy New Year, Robert.
Hey, to Happy you and New the Year family. To you.
Happy New Year to everybody who's tuned in today, and we'll talk to you again real soon when we once again light the eye.